Welcome to the latest installment of Easy with Francesi. It's 2 weeks as usual gone by. We've stuck to the fortnightly schedule. Some things have happened. Things are moving upwardly, hopefully, for both of us. Richard, how's it going? How are you?
It's going all right, mate. Thank you. It is pretty easy because I haven't been doing as much.
Okay.
So last week, in the first week after we spoke last time, I didn't do much. I started doing a strength routine, nothing profound, just three exercises on one day, and then three more exercises on the second day, and then a rest. So
Simple.
those exercises are squats, deadlifts, press-ups, arm curls, lateral raises, and calf raises. So half and half, probably lower body. And that really actually messed me up. It wasn't too severe, but
Were you
I
using
felt,
weights?
yeah, I did use weights. I
Yeah,
got a kettlebell, got some
okay.
dumbbells. So, depending on the exercise, different amounts, but I got all I need for that. So I was quite pleased because that's been going for about a week and a half. I didn't run last week. I did cycle around, just like
Okay.
commuting. And then I actually enjoyed it. So at the weekend, I went for a hour and a half bike ride.
Okay.
Last weekend, it was really good. I went
Sweet.
nice and flat, and then I went up and down hills.
Okay.
And then on the Monday, I did another hour spin. And then I ran on Wednesday for like 35 minutes.
Okay.
Which is a really good run. It got a bit cooler here, which was really helpful. And then I also cycled this morning, short and sweet. So just really hard for about 25 minutes. And
Get the heart rate up.
yeah, it really my heart rate hit 199 on the run on Wednesday.
Did you not try to push up to 200? No, just to
I
get
didn't
them
know
around
until
bigger.
afterwards. I was so I
Oh,
There were some really big hills. So this
wow.
week has been a bit more like it. I've tried to do a bit more cycling because it's much kinder on my body.
Yeah.
The conditioning work is already getting better.
Yeah.
And I'm looking to do some more cycling. So today's Saturday. So tomorrow I go for a longer ride again. I basically got on the bike and burned 1,000 calories
Yeah,
and
and I
drank a
think,
lot of water.
and the great thing with the bike as well is even if it's quite hot, you do get a bit of a breeze. It's not it's manageable in the heat.
Well,
It,
that's not too
well,
bad.
a little bit more than running anyway. Yeah.
I did notice also that I was going through about 2 bottles an hour of water. It's so hot.
Yeah. 30, 30 plus.
Oh, by now it's above that. Sometimes
Wow.
it's reaching 35. If I'm going
Even
too late in the day, if it's before 10 o'clock, I'm okay, but I'm not
yeah.
always that organized. But yeah, long story short, I've been doing exercise. I feel a bit better about cycling rather than not having to run all the time. And the conditioning work is really helping me day to day. So I'm looking to do more of the same again, 4 days a week or more.
Yeah. I know that's going to help you, that'll help you running with activation and also just developing that general strength. But did you get some DOMS from that? I guess clearly you did.
I got a little bit of hamstring
Okay.
soreness, but that was from the conditioning, not the
Okay.
cycling.
Yeah, you're not from the cycling, but from the condition. Yeah. Okay. Cool. So what's the plan next couple of weeks then, next week onwards?
So
Continue the
yeah,
cycling.
I keep going on the Wednesday for the runs,
Okay.
and the weekends I'm going to alternate a proper bike ride, so like I did last week, with a run or short cycle. So that's three things, and then I'll try and get out at least twice a week, one run, one bike.
Sweet.
It's
It's
just, and
good.
even if I'm just spinning on the bike for an hour after work, my heart rate gets up because of the
Yeah.
temperature and hills. So I just want to have the consistency of exercise. I don't care how much, the routine is what's important. So
Yeah.
five
And
is a goal, four is realistic.
yeah, this is good. I think, as you said, with cycling, you have the ability to quickly up the volume. And you can make quite big increases without too much injury risk. So, in comparison to running, you have to be a bit more conservative with running, but with cycling, you can. There's room for increasing the volume if you need to, and if you have the time. So, it's good.
Well, I just can't burn as much energy running as I can cycling. And I focused on trying to be actually use enough energy, let alone run fast. So so how about your end, Damien? What's going on your side of town?
I work backwards, actually. I mentioned that I finally got the ultrasound on Friday. So whilst I was there, I said, can you do the other leg as well? And she just happened to look at the other leg. And there was nothing on the ultrasound. Not surprising, I took 6 weeks off. And I guess maybe an MRI might show something, but I'll talk through my week in a minute. But so... I'm inclined to just continue with the running, see if there are any issues occur, and then go for this painstakingly slow process of trying to get an MRI. I mean, I'm gonna try to see if I can find one private. Because I just can't bend another. If the problem, I'm thinking a bit far ahead here, but hopefully I don't need it. If I do, I'll have to look at other options because I can't wait as long as I did for this. So since we talked, I think I took the Monday off, and I'm not going to go into too much detail, but pretty much strength and conditioning 3 times a week at least, sometimes 4. I did 80-minute ride on Tuesday, 60 minutes cross train on Tuesday. Wednesday took off. Thursday was 30 cross training intervals. Then I did a run on the Saturday, which was a 15-minute run, and that was okay. That was 3 by 5 minutes with a 1-minute walk. There was no issues there. I think I might have mentioned this already, actually. And then on the Sunday, I did. No, that's right. Okay, I remember now. When we last spoke, I'd done a 5-minute run, just a little jog, and I was planning to continue running last week, but I had a slight problem with my Achilles, which I think has flared up from trying to get on my forefoot on the cross train a bit too much. So I basically didn't run till last Saturday. Did 3 by 5 minutes. That was fine. Did 20 minutes on the ski erg. Did 4 hours cycling the next day. That was good fun. Then this week, this is when I've really got into groove with the running again. So it's been good. 4 by 5 minutes on Monday, Tuesday another 80-minute bike ride, and then I did a grass run, which was basically 25 minutes broken up with grass with walking. Wednesday was 60 minutes cross training, and then I did another run on Thursday. On Thursday, I wanted to test it out the day before the ultrasound. So I did some light drills and I did some strides. And there was a little bit, probably 1 out of 10, I could feel a little bit of discomfort in that same area. So I was a little bit concerned. But the next day, there was no issues. So I didn't run the next day. I ran yesterday. I ran today. And again, probably 1 out of 10. It was okay. So I'm going to try to hold up 25 to 30 minutes and just try and play around with that as much as I can. And yes, Richard, you have a question?
Yeah, so yeah, I'm going to ask about that. How confident do you feel about doing a quote, normal run? Now that you've had a bit of time to build it up,
I today, just out of interest, I was just running to stopwatch, basically just looking at the time and running. Today I used a stopwatch and heart rate, I was running. It was a run. It wasn't just a jog. So today was the first proper run, I'd say. I did a little bit on. When I ran on the grass on Wednesday, some of that was a little bit, the latter part was fast, but today I'd say most of it was a run. So, but an easy run, but I felt like I was running rather than just jogging. So it's okay. I think what I've been doing in the gym has been good, but there's an area that I've stupidly, well, just haven't been focusing on. I wasn't doing enough with the tibialis, posterior anterior, with the front on the front of the shin. So I'm doing a bit more band work there, and that's
Right, so
quite.
are you talking the lifting your toes up or moving your ankle inwards? Because like tib anterior or tib posterior?
All three, yeah. So I work in three planes.
Ah.
So yeah. So I have a band as tight as I can. I pull it, and I'm just pushing against. So I do 3 sets of 15. So yeah, in a straight line to the left and the right. I always forget which one the interior and the posterior is. Is the posterior on the inside or the outside? I don't know.
Posterior is when you put your ankle inside.
Ankle in,
Inversion.
yes, yeah, inversion, yeah. So I do, yeah, posterior, anterior, and then straight line. That's I can definitely feel the muscle work in there. So that's an
You know
area.
what? I felt mine as well, man. Mine's so useless. It's probably like a little thin string now, or scar tissue string. To play like E, to play a high E on it or something.
Very good. But it's amazing. Like you do all the work on the calf, but on the soleus, but I wasn't really paying enough attention to that. The just loading the BRC, you know, dorsiflexion, plantarflexion, and but that hopefully if I do that consistently will yeah. So we'll see. The drills were another issue when I was mainly when I started to put a lot of contact that when the knees bent, you're hitting the ground, jumping off, stepping off. But I think a lot of that is down to just the control, controlling the dorsiflexion when it lands. I don't think I've got the strength there in the to be honest, the shin area in general. So that is my 2 weeks of running after a long time. Well, at least getting close to a run. So
Well,
we'll
man,
see.
progress.
It's progress. Yeah, I'm pleased. But I don't want to. I'm going to be really conservative. I've got another week here, then I'm away for a week. So I want to be running when I'm on holiday because I can't cross train as much. So that's an aim. Right. Okay. So we're going to go on to our deep dive training talk. And today's deep dive training talk is on tapering. We're going to talk about tapering in a season. So I'm going to use the summer season. Richard, what do you think about tapering?
Yeah, a reasonable amount. I think it's a broad topic. So yeah, to begin, just in the middle of a season, it's always I'm talking here track season, right? So you might be doing one race a weekend. You might do a cycle of or a series of three over 7 days, or maybe even a championship, right, on consecutive days. I found that tapering for me. A lot of the time when I was younger, I didn't really notice it, right? And it would just be, you do a Tuesday session, let's say you have a Saturday race. When you're a lot younger, or when I was a lot younger, I might do a Thursday session. So we'd sort of still just carry on and just do the session, but the sessions were a little bit smaller, maybe. But as I started doing longer races, 5K on the track or like road relays or something like that. You do the Tuesday session, and I would do like a 40-minute run, a 30-minute run on a Thursday, and then a day off or something of that ilk, which was usually like two-thirds of a normal rest of the week or even half. And then go into the race and then carry on. I don't think I ever changed that when I went into big races, not really. And I think that you can afford to taper quite aggressively for big races, if it's like a one-off. When I was thinking about like let's say if do three races in a row, the taper is really odd then. That whole concept's strange because you're just recovering between races. Like let's say you do a Wednesday, a Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, or a Wednesday, Saturday, Wednesday. I always thought like just doing a 20-minute run was pretty straightforward. But I changed over time. Because when I started coaching, I thought, well, actually, just doing some strides is also appropriate if you're doing like middle distance racing. So
Absolutely.
I'm definitely rambling, but my experience of tapering is that no one ever really tapered that much compared to what you could probably get away with at the risk of thinking, oh, I'm going to lose all my fitness. And I would, I thought that tapering, just doing easy runs, is a little bit narrow. What do you think? Save me, Damien, save me.
No, you're not rambling, Richard. You're talking. You're pulling the ideas, and we're gonna sort of pull it into a nice little stream, and get it a bit more, get the ideas together. So I'm going to carry on from your points about losing fitness. So I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of athletes that I've coached, they have a habit of not tapering for the fear of losing fitness. So this should be quite common knowledge, and it's, of course, it's individual, but generally speaking, any training that you do 2 weeks before a race, maybe 10 to 14 days, there's not going to be a significant increase in fitness. A lot of it's about maintaining fitness, maintaining sharpness, just keeping on top of the training that you have done. So I go back to going off a tangent a little bit. When I was small, well, not small, when I was younger, didn't train for a week. I've got racing Saturday. Let's go training Wednesday. Yeah. Let's go training Monday, Wednesday. Let's get fit again. You have no clue what you're doing. I think my parents said the same thing to me. Just they didn't really know much about training. Went down, and I had kids, parents of kids that do the same thing. Oh, should he come training on Wednesday? He's got the race on Thursday. N-O, capital N-O, just rest. You're not going to gain anything. You're just going to negate the risk of just fatiguing yourself. So, losing fitness is one of the reasons why I think tapering isn't taken seriously. The traditional tapering that we were probably used to when we were coached was gradually bring it down from Wednesday. If you've got a Saturday race, that sort of whatever it is, 40, 30, 20, if you stride the day before the race. And when you're young, you just follow what the coach says, you do it. And I think you're just in this constant cycle of developing yourself and learning to race that you have no idea whether it, that there are so many variabilities, it's impossible to know whether it works. And I don't think that I was mature enough to even understand it. I just ran and raced. But I think once you get to once you're an adult and you've got a consistent lifestyle and those variables are minimized, then, I think tapering can be a really powerful tool. The other thing with tapering is when I've tried to introduce tapering to athletes that aren't used to tapering properly, as opposed to, let's just example, they'd maybe take the Friday off and do a session on the Tuesday and train normally. They've said, oh, it didn't really work this time. I don't think tapering works for me. And it's being not stubborn, but giving it enough of a chance to trying it enough times to see the benefits of it. I think people don't give it a chance.
Yeah, I think what taper introduces is a change, right? And the change is you feel better running during the week leading up, and there's a lot of nervousness because it's so different. I have seen so many athletes kick themselves in the face because here's the conversation I have. Oh, okay, we're going to do 2/3 volume the week before. Still do a session, but don't do 12 fours, do 8 fours, same pace, those kind of things. So they're like, oh yeah, sounds great. Yeah, sure. And it gets to Thursday and it's just like, oh, I had a great run on Thursday. I was running 20 seconds a mile faster than normal. And I'm like, the whole point is to just do less of the same, not speed up. It's this classic self-sabotage, right? And there's this idea, I think, that goes around people's heads of, I feel great. I haven't felt great for ages. Let me run. I'm running well. Let me run well now. As you kind of point out too soon before the race. And then the taper doesn't work because they race the same as normal. But actually, the taper's executed poorly. So I think there's a lot of psychology around you're supposed to feel restless. You have to be disciplined to actually absorb that. Just like in the warm-up on race day, when people eyeballs round a warm-up or something like that. It's just, and until you've done that 8, 9, 10 times, like executed it well, you've got no clue. So the taper is always a bit of a risky one if you've got a nervous athlete who is always wanting to do, volume, because you go into the cycle of art. Either I'm going to lose fitness or they're carrying so much fatigue, they can't manage to do the actual executed work without carrying fatigue and they run too hard. I've seen that more times than I haven't.
It's a really it's fascinating because the athletes that I've coached like that, they're almost uncoachable, like in terms of when you can't get through to them. And I don't think it's not that they're stupid, they just cannot see outside of their own. They're just so involved with their own training and racing, they don't understand what this effectively self-sabotage a lot of the time. I mean, I had a guy I coached, and he just wouldn't listen to anything I suggested. He wouldn't try it. Oh, no, I can't do that because then I lose fitness. I can't do that because, oh, I don't like doing that. But that's where you're always going to run the same kind of performance, because you're not willing to try something different. Like, clearly, what you're doing helps you run this at this standard. But if you want to improve, you've got to think about tapering properly. You've got to think about changing your mindset towards your racing. But I think is there anything else we can? Yeah, I wanted to just quickly touch on marathon, and I know that it's something that you're not so convinced, involved with. And yes, Richard.
Before we go there, I think one of the mechanisms to try and address this, so as in like a taper not really being executed well, I found that in a track season, let's say you got a series of three races, as I was talking about before, if you have your Wednesday, Saturday, or even like a Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, rather than tapering in the sense of come down on easy runs, just frame it as recovery runs. All you're trying to do is recover from the last race. So you might do a Saturday race and no longer doing a long run. So you might do, a 40-minute recovery run. Well, easy run. It's probably not recovery, but it's 40 minutes. And then like 20-minute easy runs. And then what you're actually doing is drastically bring down the volume, but under the guise of recovering from races, which you are actually doing. But, you have a chance of racing better in the sequence. The only other thing I've seen that I want to mention is I used to always take a day off for a race. I've seen people switch it around to take a day off the day before the race, and then they run before or the morning off. And that sometimes is something I find, because who cares about a 15-minute run? The athlete sometimes does, but it can be something just to calm nerves as much as it can be to recover the body. Marathon.
I'm just going to actually go back to that point. That's a really good point. So that was something that we were probably told about, was to just take the day off before a race. And I did that religiously for a long time. And I changed it. I changed it maybe when I, late 20s, early 30s, to taking the Thursday off. Or if maybe when I was training with injury free, I would like run Thursday morning, and if I had a race on a Saturday in the summer, most of the races are in the afternoon, evening. So, yeah, it would be I'd run Thursday morning, Friday morning, and then you have potentially a day and a half between the last run and the race. So that's almost, it's not, it allows you to keep ticking over if you're used to that kind of continuous training cycle.
One other piece, can we just,
clamping
on more bits, collecting like snowballing. So I think it changes a little bit if you double day a lot. So there've been periods where I would run easy every day, but I'd do sessions on top of that. Oh, I double day sometimes as well with two runs. But the simplest I've done is, as a coach, this is just take out the quote training run. So let's say you do a half hour recovery run in the morning, 45 minutes in the evening, or like a 30-60, just take out the longer one and say, don't run, just recover, do some stretching or whatever. And that sometimes keeps, because one of the challenges is if you break the routine so much for an athlete, it can really mess things up.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing you can do is sometimes I've just added some light cross training just to give some sort of routine. Did you want to add something else there?
No, that was it.
So I think in summary, in terms of tapering for track seasons, what the balance between the, I think 9 times out of 10, it's very hard to it's easier to do too much than too little in terms of that week preceding a race. And what you're trying to get an athlete to feel is that they want to feel, as you said, restless. They want to feel like they have, they're ready to race, and that can be done, as you said, by just cutting a lot of sessions down considerably of the week of the race, just adding some strides, keeping that sort of the neuromuscular, you know, the activity. Just keep that, keep you in tune with some sort of turnover, some sort of you know, get very, very short burst, even just strides the day before, something like that. That can be something really beneficial for a for preceding a race. I'm just going to talk really briefly about marathon training. I have seen, generally speaking, a 3 week taper. 3 week taper, or two and a half week taper. And I've, depending on the athlete, moved away to more of like a less aggressive 2 week taper. So it's kind of a, you bring the training down, but a bit more gently over the 3 weeks, because it seems to me like there's, in a lot of athletes, there's too much of a gap between that last decent long run and the marathon, any sort of hard sessions and the actual race. So it is a little bit trial and error, because you've got to have some experience coaching or maybe racing to instill that. But if it's an experienced coach and someone that's dealt with marathon running, yeah, bring that taper down a little bit more, less aggressively. So for instance, if you're running 60 miles a week, it's taper 3 weeks out. If you're going to take 25% off, you're not going to do much in that last week. So it effectively, you need to be doing a 2 week taper. And if you're doing a big volume, 100 plus, then that's a different, then you probably can get away with doing that slightly more aggressive tapering.
Yeah, I've never seen more than 2 weeks tapering, that's for sure. I've seen some fractions of volume be like two thirds and then half. Across, you know, for week one, take two thirds, and then for week two, do half the volume, but still do the same frequency. Something close to it. But yeah, 3 weeks is a long time. That's an entire cycle. I mean, I think I can see the rationale. It's an entire cycle of training. But I think what's usually the stab of the big piece that people screw up is the psychology of handling a body that feels different. And the longer you do that, the more risk there is you screw it up. And even if you don't screw it up, you psychologically beat yourself up by, let's say, running too hard or thinking you did this day or that day. And also, I would say going into some key sessions with a taper is entirely legitimate if you're building up to a marathon, because you're trying to recreate to some degree the feel of the race day. And you don't go into a long run, marathon, as hard as you would the race, but it's a closest thing to it.
So I think it is effectively, we've kind of summarized marathon there quite quickly, but tapering is the same for any distances. You want to get to race day feeling like you are going to be able to perform something close to your best. You want to feel reasonably fresh. I think in season that's a bit harder because there's a lot of races and getting the balance right. But I think a lot of it is psychological as well. It's making sure that the athlete feels like they're ready, and the body tends to follow. Okay, Richard, thank you for the deep dive training talk. That was an interesting discussion, and hopefully readers have got an idea. But I think you talking to your coach, if you've got one, if you haven't got one, think about getting a coach, because it's a great soundboard to bounce ideas off about racing and training. Thank you, Richard. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks a lot, Tony.
You're welcome. See you soon. Cheers.
Bye.